Hello, everyone, and welcome to Diversify Her Podcast. I'm your host, Raven Hayward, and today I'm honored to have Miss Michelle Gethers. I'm lucky to have met Miss Gethers through my Visa Black Scholar Scholarship. Miss Gethers recently retired from her 40-year-long career, where she served as the Chief Diversity Officer and Head of Corporate Responsibility for Visa. She led the company's global strategy for growth and inclusive and diverse talent, social impact, and environmental sustainability. Prior to joining Visa, she served as the president and CEO at United Way of Greater Greensboro, where she and her team focused on partnerships to end poverty. She also held a variety of roles over 21 years at American Express, including senior vice president and general manager of card operations. She also has experience as an entrepreneur with consulting firm, as a certified public accountant, and as an author. Her accomplishments and career have been featured in Ebony, Black Enterprise, Working Mother, Biz Life. She had Business Journal's 2017 Most Admired CEO and 2021 Leader in Diversity, and as a speaker at two regional TEDx Greensboro talks. Thank you so much for being here with me today. How are you doing?
I am fabulous, Raven. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so glad that I could finally have you on my show. I know ever since I met you last summer at our summit, we've been talking about this. So I'm glad to see it's actually happening in fruition and we're making it happen. To get us started, I would first love for you to just tell me a little bit more about yourself and your journey as to how you got to where you are today.
Well, you know, Raven, I come from humble beginnings. So I'm a girl who is a product of generational poverty. So my family grew up in rural South Carolina, and I grew up in public housing in New York City. And, you know, how you start life is not how you end life. And so for me, I had the opportunity to go to college. I had the opportunity to pursue my dreams. And so the journey really began in high school. I was part of Junior Achievement, and Junior Achievement paved the way for me to understand business. I had informal mentors who suggested that I go to a public speaking class. Named Del Carnegie. They told me that as a businesswoman, I should always be ready to share my voice. And so I went to Del Carnegie. I was the only student in the class with businessmen and women, and went on to go to college, study for the CPA exam in New York City, passed, and then worked in public accounting. Went to American Express because I wanted to make sure that my resume was one that included a large multinational corporation that would suggest that I was competent enough. Because back then, you had to have a resume before you got in the door. Mm-hmm. And I went there to actually gain experience so that I could open up the first all-female public accounting firm in New York City. But when I got to American Express, I loved it so much and I loved the corporate environment that I gave up my external entrepreneur opportunity and instead decided to be an internal entrepreneur at American Express. And so I made sure that I was learning as much as I could and absorbing and contributing and committing and growing my career up to the point that I became a senior vice president. And then I hung up my heels so that I could be a full-time mother, came home, and during that time wrote a book. And I wrote a book to share my 21 years of experience and just speak truth about how my faith was my North Star all along and the importance of really being grounded in character and how that can propel your leadership to the next level, how it can propel your career to the next level. And I then went to work for United Way, and there I discovered my purpose in life. I discovered the reason why I was born, that I was born to galvanize people to solve societal issues, that I actually wasn't born to be a corporate leader. I was born for something far more greater than that. And so I did that for 8 years, and then I jumped and came to Visa. And I came to Visa because it was the culmination of me being able to take the societal impact to the next level, to do it in a corporate setting with nonprofits and with government. And so it was the triangulation of all these things that led to my purpose. And now I am leaving my corporate career permanently in order to do more.
You just said a lot of important information right there, from your humble beginnings and even talking about the beginning of your career, hinting on, you know, having to have a great resume just in order to get into the door. But there's also the intersection of just being a Black woman in a white male dominated field. So navigating that. And you mentioned your book, The Next Level, which I actually purchased and I read my freshman year in college. And I just remember reading it. I would read it every morning or anytime I had a break. And the way that you talked about, you know, your faith really being your North Star and not doubting yourself and not being afraid to speak up for yourself and even ask for help when you need it, understanding that you can't do it all alone. That really spoke to me, because especially just being a young Black girl and wanting to go into corporate America, it's very big. It's very large. There's a lot of different routes you can go. And so just seeing you actually as someone who looks like me doing what you're doing in your career, it's truly been inspiring. I'm just so grateful to Visa and the work that you've done to even allow the opportunity for us. And so I want to congratulate you for your success in your 40-year-long career. And I want to ask you, with all the experiences that you've had, what would you say has been kind of the most humbling experience, or what really changed your mind about how the business world works?
So nothing changed my mind. There are some great influences on how I view the business world. And some of those influences involve my observation of various leadership styles. And so it actually made me a better leader, because I call myself a Frankenstein of many different leaders. And I even have some attributes of what I don't ever want to be. Because I think it's important to understand those things that I am committed to never being and never doing. But I spend most of my time on those things that I will always stand for: integrity, honesty, approachability, trustworthiness, presence, getting things done, including people, revering the people who work with me and for me. So it was really about leadership, and then it was about technical competence. You know, sometimes you think you're smart, and then you start getting surrounded by some powerful, smart people, and it helps you elevate your game. And so what I love about corporate America is the change is constant. And so with that, that means you've always got to be thinking about your A game. You know, for me, A game starts with attitude and aptitude. Mm-hmm. And you've always got to be on it. And I think about when I started 40 years ago, the core competencies that I had versus the ones I have now. The trajectory is only upward, and it's going to continue to be upward even in this time that, you know, we call retirement, but I'm calling it refocus time. Mm-hmm. So those are two things that really stuck out for me over the 40 years. That is extraordinary models of leadership and extraordinary models of skill building. Mm-hmm.
I love how you said refocus time. So with in your LinkedIn post, you mentioned how you were going to take some time to refocus. And I remembered we had a phone conversation and you said you kind of wanted to take a vow of silence and really just sit and enjoy the moment, take in all the experiences. So can you just walk us through your vision for the next season of your life, and particularly focusing on the leadership and the equity and the economic mobility solutions that you're talking about?
So what I would say to you, Raven, is the next 6 months are going to be about me sitting still and being clear about my singular focus, because there are a number of things that I'm interested in. And I think there are a number of things that I'm good at. But my challenge is you can't boil the ocean during this season of refocus. So I'm going to really need to sharpen my focus and be maniacally focused on the North Star. And so as I think about my life and I think about where I can contribute the most, it really is about the intersection of one's intellectual capital and their financial capital. And how is it that especially for girls and women around the world, how is it that we elevate that to a level that they can reach their full potential? Not my potential, not your potential. So I don't want to define what it is, because it's about full potential. And we all know when we're reaching our full potential and when we're falling short. And I want to be a voice and a resource that says to little girls around the world, yes, you can, and yes, you will. And here's a bridge. I want my back to be a bridge to get people from one place to another. And I want to do that here in the United States. I want to do that on the continent of Africa. And I want to do it in South America as my three sweet spots.
That's amazing. So how do you go about doing that?
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you, this 6 months of silence is going to be about me reading. It's going to be about me praying. It's going to be about me listening and being silent. So I am not going to commit to anything for 6 months. The only thing I'm going to do is my Monday Minute LinkedIn posts. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I am going to be writing, listening, and just being one with my thoughts and with what's possible. Mm-hmm. For 6 months, I will emerge in, I think, in January of 2025. And then I'll be able to speak to time horizons. Right now, I'm just speaking to this moment of quiet in order to refocus. I've been running for 40 years. So there's a lot going on in my mind and my body and my soul and my spirit. And I want to take all of that and find stillness.
I think that's really powerful what you're doing, because there's power in the tongue. I know my mom, she always tells me that there's power in the tongue. Be careful what you say,
because life and God, death.
Mm-hmm, and God will deliver it as well with what you say. One way or another, God will show you. And so with you taking this vow of silence, I think it's very commendable. And like you said, you've been running, you've been doing a lot. And with the role that you had as the chief diversity officer at Visa, and even your past roles, I can only imagine how stressful or just how strenuous it could have been with your career, especially just the word diversity in corporate America. It kind of scares people. Or even I'm in a class right now at my business school, and it's called Diversity and Inclusion in the Workplace. So we've been reading a lot of recent news about how the language of it is changing. And now with affirmative action being rolled out, how can these companies, you know, really go about it? Will it still even exist in 5 years? How is the language changing? And I know that you are a huge advocate for the Black Visa Scholars Program. at Visa. So could you just, for the guests that don't know about the program, could you just talk about your experience with that and why it's so important to you?
Yeah, the Visa Black Scholars and Jobs Program was a commitment that we made that we were going to invest in the greatest asset that is available to communities of color, and that's education and life-sustaining wages. So what we did is we said, let us go find the best and brightest in this country and offer them a 4-year scholarship with a mentor, with internships every summer, and a guaranteed job at the end when they graduate from college, as long as they have satisfactory performance in college. Mm-hmm. And we did that because education can never be taken away. And the richness of an experience, exposure, and technical skills also can never be taken away. And it is a platform for 126 scholars to reach their full potential. Not my potential and not your potential. But 126 people are going to be able to reach their full potential because we decided to invest in scholarships, mentorship, internship, and jobs. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit about the program. And the program is really important, not just because they're a scholarship, but we will infuse the organization with talent that might otherwise not have come to Visa, mm-hmm. or not have been known by the mentees and the mentors. Mm-hmm. So there is a mutual benefit that's going on here. So it's not for the sake of a job, but it's for the sake of a more inclusive culture that we are doing it. It is not for the sake of diversity. It is for the sake of career mobility, mm-hmm. in a more inclusive culture.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even from my experience, a couple episodes ago, I was able to do an episode with my mentor, and she connected me with other mentors just at Visa. So just through that experience, it's really been eye-opening. And even learning about Visa, I would have never known about the initiatives that the company is doing and how much of a global impact the company truly has. Because when you think Visa, you just think the credit card. You don't really know exactly what they do. So just that alone, the exposure, the experience, I think is very important. But some people don't necessarily understand, or they may think it's unfair because it's just targeted towards Black students. So whenever people do make comments about that, how do you respond?
Well, nothing is targeted. We didn't, because that word in and of itself is insightful, mm-hmm. right? So what we did is we just said, let's make a commitment to underrepresented communities. And we initially went out and said that we are looking for Black African American students. But the reality is other groups also came into the fold, because we forgot about, there's also mixed race. Mm-hmm. There are all kinds of ways that people think about their ethnicity. And it is only in this country that we speak race. Otherwise, people view themselves very differently around the world. So we believe that there was a point in time where we needed to be more inclusive, and this was our way of doing it. We stand behind the decision that we made, and it is bearing fruit for everyone. And that's, so said another way, we stayed the course and we're realizing the benefit. And isn't that what we want to do in corporate America and in life?
Yes.
Make an investment and realize the benefit.
You mentioned staying the course, and I think especially with my generation, Gen Z, we call ourselves, it's sometimes hard to see the bigger picture at the end of the road, or a lot of the times hearing the word no is very discouraging, or if things don't go our way, it's hard for us to, you know, sort of bounce back. So what advice do you have for those of us who are trying to stay the course, but it seems hard?
Yeah. So the reality is you either stay the course or you get distracted. And we're all clear about the benefit of a distraction. There is not a benefit, because what you do is you come off your game and you start playing someone else's game. You go on defense. Nobody wins a game playing defense only. No one wins by playing someone else's game. You have to play your game. You've got to know what your sweet spot is. What is your North Star? So what I would say to my Gen Zers is, be clear about who you are and what you're trying to accomplish, and allow yourself to discover during that period, that phase. So you don't know everything. I know you think you do, but you don't. And so discovery is a beautiful thing. Think about the search bar. The search bar. Everybody knows the search bar. Everybody knows when they see that magnifying glass, everybody knows what that means. And we do it all day long. There are probably billions of searches in any one day from all kinds of platforms for all sorts of reasons. We should be in that period of discovery, but we need to stick to it enough so that it's relational and not transactional. Because often we're searching to find something to grab and go, and not to learn and formulate a relationship between what we've discovered and our being. So I just think we're at a crossroads of needing information to succeed, being exposed to information, but also remembering staying the course means you're clear about the goal. You are building relationships as you stay the course, and you are avoiding distractions that will cause you to stumble and fall. So it's really important. You either stay the course or you get distracted. There's no middle. We can pretend there's a middle. There's no middle. It's one or the other. And I am a huge advocate for staying the course. And sometimes you don't need to reinvent the wheel. You need to stay the course, but make sure it is an informed course. And that's why, you know, we will always be in search and always be in discover mode along the way. And I do mean for a lifetime.
Wow, you can make a whole sermon just about the search bar right there. I felt like you took me to church right there talking about the search bar.
It's so funny because my Monday minute that I'll post tomorrow is about search. It's about the search.
Well, I'll make sure that in the description, I have your LinkedIn down below so everyone can go watch your Monday minute, and I'll be sure to tune in tomorrow to the Monday minute. But
thank you, Raven.
Of course, of course. And as we come to the end of this episode, you've given us a bunch of golden nuggets, and I'm excited to do our follow-up episode after 6 months to know how your moment of silence went. But I have a signature question, which is, what's one piece of advice you would give Gen Z to go out and diversify themselves? I feel like you've sort of already answered this with talking about how to stay the course and the search bar, but is there any other advice that you can give us?
Yeah. What I would say is, use your eyes and look around at your circle. There's an old saying that says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And I want Gen Zers to know that in a circle, we should think about it as a tapestry or a mosaic of unique small pieces that come together to form something beautiful. I have been blessed to have friends from all walks of life. And as a result of that diversification of my friend group, it has made me a richer human being. It has taught me to be tolerant. It has taught me true empathy. And it allows me to always be culturally intelligent. I have people I can call to ask very specific questions. And guess what? They can call me and say, Michelle, because I am part of your inner circle, I have this question, I have this concern. So I would just ask that we all not decide to live in oneness with people who look like us, people who sound like us, think like us, and come from the same place we come from, but instead open the aperture so that diversification is not only about your money, but it's also about your close connections.
Diversify yourself. Diversify your friend group, and it'll diversify your experiences and your ways of thinking and your ways of going about things. I love that. Thank you. Thank you.
You are more than welcome.
Thank you. Everyone, please be sure to check out Miss Gether's Monday Minutes that she has on LinkedIn. Again, I will have it linked in the description below. Thank you again so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. And everyone, thank you for listening. Make sure to catch us next time on Diversify Her.